Good morning and welcome on this Palm Sunday. I invite you to join in singing our gathering hymn number 176 with waving palms and shouts of praise, printed in our order of worship. Let's stand and sing. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome. It's good to see everyone as we gather on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, to worship our Lord together. We especially welcome any guests we have with us today. Thank you for being here and being a part of our worship. And we also welcome those who are joining us by radio or on the internet. We're grateful for your presence with us and invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. There are a number of things that I want to mention to you. First of all, as I said, it is the beginning of Holy Week. And if you use Facebook, you can look on our church's Facebook page and there are Holy Week readings listed each day. And that will help you in your journey through Holy Week. Now, our youth group will have lunch together after the service and then leave at 1:15 to go to Roanoke Rapids to see the movie King of Kings this afternoon. And anyone who would like to join us is welcome to go to the movie. But youth and children will have lunch and then we'll go at 1:15. The Food Bank of the Albemarle will be here on Tuesday. And, of course, as always, we need volunteers and you need to be here by 1:30 if you can help us with that. Our last Lenten lunch will be this week, and guess where it will be? It will be here. And I'm sure Marietta has been in touch with a number of you about helping with that. But if you have any questions about it or you'd like to help out, please contact Marietta. Now, on Wednesday evening, we'll have our Easter egg hunt and pizza supper at 5:30, choir practice at 6:15, but we will not have prayer and Bible study this week because Thursday evening, we're having our Maundy-Thursday communion service at 7 here in the sanctuary. And then afterwards, we will move from here to the fellowship hall. Our youth have prepared Stations of the Cross, and that'll be an opportunity to walk through and remember again what Christ has done for us in his suffering and death. If you'd like to place an Easter lily in the sanctuary for next Sunday, there's information in the bulletin. The deadline has been extended to tomorrow at noon. And we'll also flower the cross on Easter Sunday, so make preparations to bring flowers that morning as well. And then on May 4th, immediately following our morning worship service, we will have our quarterly conference. That's on May 4th. We have come here to worship God, and I invite you to join me in our responsive reading from Psalm 118, as we worship God together this morning. If you'll join in on the bold print, please. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And let us pray together. Lord, with joy, we greet your coming today. We lay before you our love and faith, rejoicing that you came in peace to be our King. Come, Lord, and teach us the ways of peace, that we may know love and strength of love and the power of forgiveness. Come, Lord, and teach us humble ways, that we may be free of arrogance and without pretense. Let our songs fill this sanctuary with hosannas, for now the day of our redemption draws near. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, to whose kingdom there is no end. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 175, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Would you please stand? You may be seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon now.
Long. In fact, the Watermelon Festival used to brag, I don't know whether this is still true, that it was the long largest agricultural parade in the state of North Carolina. That's what they used to put on the posters. I don't know whether that's still true fact, but they're a long parade. And there are a lot of things that go on in those parades. And a lot of people throw candy, don't they? Now, we participated in a parade, or you participated in a parade this morning. And today's Bible story begins with a parade on Palm Sunday. But it was a different kind of parade because it wasn't a very long parade. You know how many people it had in its parade? One. And you know who that was that was in that parade? Jesus. He was on a donkey, and instead of him giving the people who were watching the parade something, they did what for him? They did the palms, and they also, some of them, when they ran out of palms to put on the ground, they put their cloaks on the ground to show their adoration and praise for Jesus. Now, the week started out really, really happy. But by the end of the week, is it still happy? Now, what happens at the end of this week? Jesus what? Jesus dies. But by next Sunday, are we sad or happy again? Happy, because Jesus has been what?
Raised.
So we want to remember this week. It's a very special week. It's called Holy Week. And we remember that it started with a parade. But the greatest thing about the week wasn't the parade. It was actually what happened on Friday, even though it was sad. He died. Why? For our sins. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this week. We thank you for your son who went into Jerusalem happy, and at the end of the week, he made us all happy, and he died for our sins. In your son's name, amen.
Morning. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today's epistle lesson comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Be unselfish like Christ. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything. He was equal with God, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to be held on to. He gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and fully obedient to God. He obeyed even when that caused his death on a cross. So God raised Christ to the highest place. God made the name Christ greater than any other name. God wants every knee to bow to Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under earth will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and bring glory to the Father. The word of God, praise his holy name.
Thank you.
As we pray together this morning, there are a number of requests that have been submitted today. The family of Rita Casper, who passed away this week. Also prayers for Randy and Cindy Copeland, Bonnie Jenkins, Gary Brett, and of course the Sally Surface family. And there are others that we've been remembering as well that we want to continue to lift up in the coming days and this morning as we pray together. So let's join together in prayer. I'll offer our prayer and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself human flesh, becoming one of us, to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Grant to us that we may walk faithfully in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. As those who went before him and behind him that day in Jerusalem proclaimed him as your promised Messiah King, may we receive him with gladness and joyfully proclaim his good news to others. We praise you, Father, for all that you have done in Christ, and indeed all that you have done down throughout history as you created the world and you created the human race to be in fellowship with you. And then when we rebelled against you, you set about to redeem us. And you worked through Noah and Abraham and the patriarchs and the people of Israel. And then in your Son, Jesus Christ, you carried out your redemptive plan. Oh, Father, we thank you for him and ask that you would help us always, that our lives would honor and glorify you as you work in us and among us and through us. Father, we praise you for what you will do when Christ returns to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and to redeem this very creation in the new heavens and the new earth, bringing all things in heaven and earth under one head, even Jesus Christ. But Father, along with our thanksgivings and our praises, we come to bring our petitions and intercessions to you. We pray, Father, for peace and justice in the world, and we pray for the oppressed and the persecuted. We pray, Lord, for the work of your kingdom and for your church throughout the world and here in this place. We pray, Father, for our country and our state and our county and our town, and for all our civil leaders at all levels, that you would help them always to do what is right. We pray, Father, for those who are suffering and those who are grieving. We pray that where there is physical need, that you would bring help and healing. We pray, Father, that where there is spiritual need, that you would bring grace and comfort and strength. And Lord, we pray that you would help those who are dealing with all the different disasters that have taken place in recent months. Be with them. Make your presence known to them, Lord, and help them. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you, those who are lost. We ask your help for them, that your Spirit would work in their hearts and their minds to make them open to the gospel, and that you would help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel with them, that they might turn to you. Father, we pray for our children and our youth and our students and their parents and teachers and those that guide them. We pray for the Chowan students and faculty and staff and administration. And Lord, we pray for this time of worship, that as we seek to honor and glorify you, you would be pleased with the offerings that we bring to you, offerings of prayer and praise, and Father, the giving of our gifts, and most of all, the giving of ourselves to you. And so may all glory be to you, O God, in the name of your one and only Son, our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. Hear us now, Father, as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 172, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, 172. Gracious Father, your word teaches us that Christ laid aside his heavenly glory, took the form of a servant, and took on human flesh to live as one of us and to save us. As we present our tithes and offerings to you now, may his willing and loving sacrifice inspire us to give generously and sacrificially to you for your work here and around the world. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, since Christmas, we have spent most of our Sundays in the Gospel according to Luke. And this morning we return back to Luke again, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And then we'll also be dealing a little later with chapter 23, but we will just read the passage from chapter 19. Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he, that is Jesus, had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." And then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Lord, bless us now as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts. Bless it to our minds and to our hearts, Lord. And remind us of what Jesus has done for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Palm Sunday, that's what we're marking today. The first day of Holy Week, when we remember that last week of Jesus' earthly life, and we think about what he has done for us. On Palm Sunday, we remember what's usually called the triumphal entry. I think it would be more accurate to call it the royal entry, since Jesus received a royal welcome as he entered Jerusalem as the peaceable king. You see, the fact that he was riding on the donkey had some significance, because when the sons of David were going to be crowned king, they rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, because that was a sign of peace. If they rode in on a stallion, that was a sign of war. But when they rode in on a donkey, it was a sign of peace. While Luke and Mark refer to the animal Jesus rode on simply as a colt, John and Matthew make it clear that it was indeed a donkey colt in fulfillment of what the prophet said in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And what a welcome he received as he came in. When the two disciples he sent to get the colt brought it back, they threw their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it, and then the people began to take their outer cloaks off and lay them in the road for the donkey to walk on in honor and praise of Jesus and in homage to him. And as he began to make his way down the Mount of Olives toward the city of Jerusalem, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And it wasn't just the 12 who were with him that day, because you see, people more and more had been following him as he made his way to Jerusalem. And so there was a great crowd that had followed him on his way there. And they were excited. They were exuberant even. Luke tells us in chapter 19, verse 37, that the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen. And they were singing from Psalm 118 that we read from earlier, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And to that they added, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, if you had been there in Jerusalem that last week of Jesus' earthly life, you might have been a little bit confused. Those who were following Jesus were ushering him into Jerusalem as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They were declaring that he was the promised Messiah. That much we understand. What might have been confusing was how he was received, especially by the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests. They weren't welcoming him as the King of Israel. If anybody should have recognized the Messiah, surely it would have been the Pharisees, right? I mean, they spent so much time studying the scriptures and the tradition that had been passed down about how those scriptures were to be interpreted. And yet, they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah, but they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But when they heard how Jesus' disciples were praising him, some of them said, "Teacher, tell your disciples to stop." They wanted him to quieten them down. And Jesus responded, If these were silent, the stones would shout out. Now this was the beginning of an eventful week. As Jesus approached the city of Jerusalem, he began to weep over it. He knew what was coming. He knew how they'd reject him, and then later on they would rebel against Rome that had them under its thumb. In AD 66 through 70, that happened, and the city was destroyed. After lamenting over Jerusalem and its coming destruction, Jesus went into the temple, and he drove out those who were buying and selling animals for the sacrifices. They were supposed to be offering a needed service to pilgrims who had come a long way to worship, but they were not able to bring animals with them, so you know, it was reasonable. In the temple courts, you set up a business where you're selling animals for sacrifice. Problem was, they often sold them at exorbitant prices. And then you had the money changers, because you couldn't use Roman coins in the temple. You had to use Jewish coins. And, of course, they charged a nice little commission when they were exchanging the money. Jesus drove them all out. He said that they had made the house of prayer a den of thieves, and he wouldn't have it. Throughout that week until Thursday, Jesus taught at the temple each day, and the people were hanging on his words as he spoke. And the Jewish religious leaders, well, they tried to question his authority, and they did it in a number of ways. They tried to catch him in something that he said. The chief priests and the scribes, who were the teachers of the law, along with some of the elders who were members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council or the Jewish court, they directly challenged Jesus as he was teaching in the temple courts. And they said, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things?" Well, Jesus baffled them when he responded by asking them whether John's baptism was from heaven or from human origin. Now, that put them in a pickle. Because if they said, well, it was from heaven, then they knew Jesus was right. But if they said it was of human origin, then they're in trouble with the people, because they all regarded John as a prophet. And so they said, well, we don't know. We don't know. They just refused to answer. And so Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. And then Jesus went on to tell the people a parable about a man who planted a vineyard and rented it out. And then when it was time for him to collect his portion of the proceeds, he sent several servants that they beat. And then finally he sent his son and they killed him. And the religious leaders knew Jesus was talking about them, and they were looking for a way to arrest him without causing an uproar among the people. And so they sent spies to Jesus. some to try to catch him in his answer to a question about paying taxes to the Roman emperor, some to try to discredit him with a question about a hypothetical situation in the resurrection at the last day, but they couldn't trap him. The way that he answered them, they couldn't trap him. Well, after Jesus warned the people about the hypocrisy of the scribes and he praised a poor widow for her sacrificial offering at the temple, he told his disciples about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and about how they must be ready for his return. And then, as the Passover feast was approaching, the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death. They were afraid of the people, and so they had to concoct a pretext for arresting him, or else do it when most of the people wouldn't know what was going on. And then, in a heartbreaking turn of events, one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, who'd been with Jesus for 3 years, he went to the chief priests and the temple guard officers to work out a plan to betray Jesus for a price. Luke tells us that they worked out a deal, and then Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray him when there was no crowd present. That Thursday evening, Jesus gathered his disciples for the Passover meal in a large upper room that he had sent Peter and John to prepare. And when he was at the table with them, he told them, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And as they were eating, he took the cup and he took the bread and he gave thanks for them and he gave them to his disciples as signs of his body and his blood that he would soon give for them. And then while they were at the table, he warned them that one of them was going to betray him. Now, with all that was about to happen, Jesus had to settle a petty argument around the table about which one of the disciples was the greatest. Now, can you imagine that? Here, Jesus has just told them that someone was going to betray him, and here they are arguing about which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus settled that by telling them that the greatest must be like the youngest and the one who rules like the one who serves, just as he was among them as one who serves. And then he warned Peter that he would deny Jesus 3 times before the night was over. Well, once the meal was over, Jesus led his disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. He left them at one spot, and then he went about a stone's throw away from them and knelt down to pray. He agonized in prayer to the point that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. But when he came back to his disciples, they were asleep when they should have been praying. And then Judas Iscariot, who'd been with Jesus for those 3 years, led the Jewish authorities in the darkness to him, kissed him on the cheek. What should have been the greeting of a friend was a greeting of betrayal, a kiss of betrayal. Some of his disciples tried to protect Jesus, but he ordered them to stop. One of them had cut off the ear of the slave of the high priest, and Jesus healed that ear on that servant. After they arrested Jesus and took him to the high priest's house, Peter followed at a distance. And over the next hour or two, Peter denied Jesus, not just once, not twice, but 3 times. 3 times. And then the rooster crowed, just as Jesus had said it would. During the midnight hours, the temple guards blindfolded and mocked and beat Jesus. And at daybreak, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, assembled to try Jesus. And when he told the truth about who he is, they led him off to Pilate, the Roman governor, accusing him of sedition against Rome, trying to lead a rebellion against Rome. But when Pilate questioned Jesus, he found no fault in him. He said, "This man's not done anything deserving death." And he tried to get out of it. Tried to get out of having to deal with the whole situation by sending him to Herod. Well, Herod examined Jesus, and he and his soldiers mocked him and ridiculed him, and then they sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate told the Jewish leaders that both he and Herod had not found any reason to have Jesus put to death. "He has done nothing to deserve death," he said. "I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Now, that's interesting. He wasn't going to kill him, but he was going to beat him half to death. Well, the chief priest and the rulers of the people cried out for Pilate to release Barabbas. And who was Barabbas? Well, he was in prison for insurrection and for murder. He had led a rebellion against Rome. But they cried for his release. And they cried for Pilate to crucify Jesus. Pilate tried to convince them otherwise, but they prevailed with their demands so that Pilate finally gave in and sentenced Jesus to crucifixion. Now at this point, Jesus was already beaten and bloodied. He had been beaten a couple of times, and then he was flogged, which sometimes people died from flogging. And after all that, beaten and bloody, the soldiers led him away to be crucified. They made him carry a crossbeam that weighed at least 75, sometimes as much as 100 pounds. He was to carry that all the way to the hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. But he was already weakened from his beatings, and he fell beneath the load, and so they accosted Simon of Cyrene off the street and made him carry Jesus' cross behind him. And the crowd followed him. As they did, some women mourned and wailed for him. And then they came to that hill outside the city of Jerusalem called the Skull. And there, along with two other real criminals, the soldiers nailed his hands to the cross, driving long spikes through his wrists. And then they hoisted him up on that crossbeam and attached it to the stake. And then they nailed his feet to the stake. And they put a charge, posting it over his head. "This is the King of the Jews." He hung there in agony from about 9 that morning on that Friday until about 3 in the afternoon. And the Jewish leaders and the other criminals mocked him, and Jesus said a few things, just a few things, as he hung there on the cross. Early on, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Can you imagine that? These people who have called for his death, these who have unjustly condemned him, these soldiers who have nailed him to the cross, and while he's there in agony, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The two criminals there had mocked him, but then one of them had a change of heart and finally looked at Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And then finally, shortly before he died, he prayed these words from the Psalms, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for his body, took it down, prepared it, and put it in a new tomb. But what was it all about? What was happening here? Was this just another rebel that Pilate was crucifying, as Rome did with people who dared say anything against Roman rule? No, there was so much more going on here. Here was the absolute obedience of the Son of God to His Father and His will to accomplish His purpose. Here was the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. Here was the redemption of the world, the redemption of all those who would turn to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. This was our salvation. He did it all for us, for you, for me, for us. Now, you and I weren't there, but those who were there have borne witness to what happened. And that witness has been passed down through the ages. And by trusting Jesus and what He has done for us, we can experience His salvation. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can be set right with God. We can be redeemed and enjoy a right relationship with God. He did it for us, for you, for me. Have you trusted in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you given your life to this one who gave His life for you? Let's pray. And so, Father, speak to our hearts now. Lord, we pray that You will help us to remember this week what Christ has done for us, how the King of Kings died for us so that we might be right with You. Father, we pray that if there are those in this sanctuary this morning, or those who are listening or watching online, who have never put their faith in Christ, that even in these moments they would turn to Him in repentance and faith, trusting Him as Lord, following Him as His disciples. And Lord, if there are those who, though they have trusted You in the past, are not following You closely, we pray that remembering the great sacrifice Christ has made for us will draw them into a closer relationship with You and with Your church. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing number 576, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Today, if God is speaking to you in some way about some commitment or deepening of your commitment that you need to make, will you respond to Him faithfully? Will you do that right now, right where you are? And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what better time than now? Will you put your faith in Him and follow Jesus as your Lord? If you do, we invite you to come and share that good news this morning and encourage you to do that as we stand and sing number 576, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." being here this morning. I'll remind you that Chowan is having a Holy Week revival in the chapel this week. I think it goes through Wednesday evening. I believe that's right. I'll be preaching this evening, and of course, the public is welcome to come. They would love to have folks from the community to come and join in these services. So hope that some of you can be there for that. Let's pray together. Lord, as we go through this Holy Week, remind us in new and deeper ways than we've ever experienced before of what Christ has done for us. Remind us, O Lord, that he calls us to follow him in the way of the cross to glory. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful disciples as we follow him, that we would always be seeking to become like him and to live as he lived, in the hope of sharing in his resurrection at the last day. Oh, glory, honor, and praise to you, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And now, may you welcome Jesus as your King. May the Holy Spirit empower you to trust Christ as your Savior and serve him as your Lord. And as you do, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.